Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to the Nerd Cave Network.
Kids, it is the Nerd Cave Retro Podcast. My name is Jason Robbins.
And I'm Derek Diamond.
And let me tell you right up front, everybody listen to the that's listening to the show. If you have any kids in the room, you might want to put them away. If you're listening to this in the car with the kids, you might want to wait till you drop them off at school, because we are going to earn the explicit tag tonight.
This is going to be Nerd Cave Retro After Dark.
Yes. And I think people know why it's going to be. Let's just call it. We're going to call it Bitch Fest 2016. That's what's going to happen tonight.
Let me write that down so I can be sure to add that into the title, because I will forget.
So basically, Derek knew pretty early on today what the show was going to be about, because last night, well, you've been out of town for a few days, so you haven't gotten to see. Usually we update the Google Doc throughout the week so that we know what each other's going to be talking about. You know, we put in our news stuff in there. But this week, I don't have any news in the retro news, but I did write this, and I was waiting for Derek's reaction. Bitch fest about how Nintendo needs to get their fucking head out of their asses and quit botching their goddamn product launches. And Derek wrote today, he said, yeah, just read the Google Doc. That was awesome.
I just stood up and went. It's the only thing. I mean, even if there was retro news, I would forego it just for this whole thing, because I've been sitting, because we didn't do a show this past week.
Yeah.
I've been sitting on this since November 11th, almost a full week. Well, we're recording this on a Thursday, because I'm going out of town again.
Well, so let's just let everybody know. Last week, we didn't have a show this last week because I was in Disney, and I was coming back on Sunday. We record Sunday nights, but I was, you know, we drove 10 hours to get back home, and I was just not in any shape to do a show. So we decided to go ahead and just, you know, let's just take a few days to think about everything that happened, because on Friday when I was in Disney, my whole plan was, as soon as the NES was the NES Mini was released on Amazon, I've got the Amazon app on my phone, I was just going to order it on Amazon on Prime. That way it would be here on Monday, the day after I get home. It'd be a nice little surprise to come home to. After, you know, being on vacation, come home to my NES Mini, basically waiting on me when I get home. But
it makes sense.
But no, yet another botched product launch by Nintendo. I mean, seriously, do they not have social media people working at that company? How did they not know how many people wanted to have this system? And each store got what, like 2-3?
Oh, I have a story about that whenever you're done.
You go ahead, because I'm getting angrier and I need to calm down.
Okay, so from my side, I live about a block away from a Target. So I'm thinking, okay, Target opens at 8. I'll go there early, get in line, if there is one. I figure there might be a small line, but I didn't think it would be anything major. So I'm like, I'll get there, you know, 15, 20 minutes early. So I do that, and I see like a small crowd, maybe 10 people or so. I'm like, okay, that's not too bad. Get a nice second row parking spot. I'm like, this is great. And I'll say this. I can't stand smug people mm-hmm. who are smug for no reason whatsoever. So I walk up to the door, and this guy's standing there, and he just looks like the most smug son of a bitch I've ever seen. He has this really like, I got one over on you look on his face. And he says, are you here for the NES? And I said, yeah. And he said, sold out. And I said, what? He said, yeah, sold out. Only 8 in stock. Says it exactly like that. And mm-hmm. he's flashing this little number, like, because I guess he was one of the 8 that got one. So it was like he was just rubbing it in. He's like, well, you might be able to get one at GameStop or Best Buy, but I doubt it.
What an ass.
I know. I wanted to punch him. I wanted to break his glasses on his face. So I was like, well, this sucks. So I'm like, well, there's only 8 in stock. I'm not going to be able to go to Best Buy when they open at 9 because I have to be at work at 9. Mm-hmm. So I overhear from the because someone else walks up as I'm leaving, and that guy is just as big of a dick to them as he is to me. And he said, but, you know, Amazon is going to be doing they're going to release their stock at 2 Pacific time, so 4 for us. So I'm like, okay, I'll just get all my work done so that way I can sit there, you know, at 5 or 10 minutes until 4 and try and get it. So get all my work done. We fast forward to 4 o'clock Central Standard Time. I'm sitting there, you know, I've got all the other windows, everything. Like, I've closed Photoshop, Premiere, everything. The only thing that's running is Google Chrome, just so the computer won't be slowed down by anything. Mm-hmm. So I hit refresh a couple of times and I'm thinking, okay, it might just take a minute to kick in. So I keep doing it over and over and over. This goes on for about 3 to 4 minutes. And then I see the option pop up. It says, you know, $59.99. So I'm like, fuck yes. Hmm. I'm about to get my mini NES. Click on it. It goes to the, you know, the main display page where they show all the specific information and everything.
Yeah.
And then I click add to cart. And then we go to the cart screen and it says, sorry, your cart is empty. So, like, okay.
See, I couldn't even get that far.
And then I try it again, and it just takes me back to the main Amazon page. So then I keep trying, and eventually the whole page crashes, and all you see is just this white screen of nothing. Mm-hmm. So I did not get my mini NES like I had hoped for.
Yeah. And we had a little thread going on Facebook that afternoon. And what was it, like 5 minutes after Amazon had released their stock or what? I was trying to get it on Amazon and couldn't. Immediately, you know how they have the new little tab on Facebook where it's like people selling things? And
yeah,
it's down at the bottom.
This is a whole nother thing.
Yeah, and it immediately pops up. The first thing on there is someone holding a mini NES wanted $400 for it. This is like,
oh my god,
4:15 in the afternoon, the day it came out, and I'm like, go to hell, you jerk off. Like, nothing bothers me more than people that do that shit. They'll go and buy something and then turn around, immediately try to like jack the price up on eBay for something. Like, it's not that I can't wait for this. Like, and you know, I know there's going to be more made and I'm going to eventually get one, but who is going to end up paying like $400 for the mini NES? Like, what are these people thinking? Is there really people out there that are going to pay that kind of money to buy one of these?
Yeah, I'm trying to find the thread because I completely went off on this person, because there was a girl. Me and Robbie are part of this Facebook group called the Milton Pace like buy sell page, or whatever. I mean, there's one for everywhere.
Yeah.
So this woman is selling a mini NES for $300. And Robbie posted this on the Nerd Cave page. And I said, screw people. I said, screw her and anyone else like her, because it pisses me off that people like me, who have wanted something like this, we've been talking about it ever since this podcast started. Ever since this was announced, this has been something that I really wanted.
Yeah.
And the fact that some dumb bitch like you is lucky enough to get one and then you sell it just so you can make extra money. Fuck you and fuck people like you.
Exactly.
I have no respect for people like that.
No, it drives me up a wall, because this happens with every product launch. Like, any, you know, the PlayStation 3s were this way. You remember when the PlayStation 3 came out and immediately people were turning around and selling them for like $2,000 on eBay? And
oh yeah, and all the gaming systems have been like that.
And I don't know if this is some sort of strategy by Nintendo. I've read a lot of articles about it, about how this is somehow Nintendo's strategy to create fake shortages to get more get people talking about it more, and like, which I don't really get that. And if that is their strategy, is to create scarcity to make it more popular, then fuck right off, Nintendo. I'm not going to be a fanboy anymore. This is the same thing that happened with the Wii. They did this for the entire run of the Wii, almost creating artificial scarcity, and they did it at the product launch. And if this is part of Nintendo's strategy, or are they just completely incompetent from the top down? I don't get it. I can't even formulate my thoughts, because I'm so angry about the whole thing right now.
The way you kind of put it is either Nintendo is too stupid to know what they're doing, or they're just being really shady. And I don't like that.
I don't either.
I know Zach and Robbie talked about this on the Nerd Cave. I wasn't able to be on the show this week, but my opinion, and I'm the Nintendo fan of the three of us on that show, and I am the most angry at them, because they were, I guess, defending Nintendo in a way. I can't remember the specifics, but they kind of handled it very poorly from the beginning, because you couldn't pre-order it anywhere.
Yeah.
You couldn't pre-order it at GameStop, which shocked me.
Yeah.
That absolutely shocked me. They were like, no, it's first come, first serve.
And that's the thing. You know, Nintendo could have gauged this by doing some sort of pre-order thing.
Yes.
To know how many they were going to need. And just by, if they'd have had half-assed competent social media people, they would have known how many units of this thing they would have needed to make everybody happy. They would have made so much money. Why do you hate making money, Nintendo? Why do you hate taking my money? Why do you hate me as a fan? Really? I mean, this is almost feels like the last straw for me. Like, I'm almost to the point, I'm so angry about this that I don't know if I'm going to buy a Switch now. I'm definitely not going to buy it at launch. They may have pissed me off at this point, to the point where I'm not going to forgive them this time.
Well, I'll say this, like, my only hope is that they learn from their mistake. I hope that once they release another shipment, they release way more, because I heard they only release like 50,000.
Yeah.
Which is absolutely mind blowing.
Dumb. They should have had 500,000 units easy.
Yes. So if they release a ton more in time for Christmas, then I think in time people will, I don't want to say forget about it, but they'll be like, okay, we have our mini NES, let's move on.
Yeah.
And just don't do the same thing for the Switch, because I know a lot of people who have wanted one that are very upset about this.
Well, yeah, I'm one of them.
Oh, I'm right there with you. No, I totally agree. Like, I was actually like, I was sitting there at work, and when I couldn't get it on Amazon, like, I was legitimately angry to the point where I couldn't even focus on anything, because I'm like, I cannot believe that, you know, Nintendo releases something that a lot of people want. People can cash in on the nostalgia right before Christmas, and they screw it up. And it's stuff like this that makes it hard for people like us to defend them. When, yeah, exactly. You know, I go on my other show and I hear about how poorly Nintendo does, and I try to defend them, and they do something like this, and it makes it impossible, really.
Exactly. I'm not going to be a Nintendo apologist anymore after this.
No, I totally get it. I mean,
because this right here, I have been a Nintendo fan for 30 years. Since 1986, I have been a Nintendo fan, and I got my first Nintendo for my 12th birthday and 11th birthday in 1988. We got my own Nintendo, and I've been a fan. I love that machine. I bought a Super Nintendo, a Nintendo 64. I had a GameCube. I have a Wii. I never bought the Wii U. But I was really looking forward to this and a Switch. But yeah, I feel like I've given them 30 years of my life as a fan, and they turn around and piss in my mouth is what they've done. What I feel like they've done for this launch. It's like, I feel so unappreciated as a Nintendo fan. And if this is artificial scarcity that they've been known to do in the past, instead of just putting the number of consoles out there that people want, or even doing something as simple as a pre-order to know how many they need to make. Whether they screwed this up or they're screwing with us, Nintendo, you fucked up one too many times. I'm almost to the point of being done, if not done already. I'm so angry about this whole deal.
I don't get it. I don't understand, like, either whichever one is true, either them being incompetent or creating the artificial scarcity. I don't understand it. I don't understand how you can not know your popularity and your appeal. And then on the other hand, you're screwing with your fan base.
Yeah.
A fan base that's been dying since the early 2000s, because really the GameCube is when people started jumping off the Nintendo wagon and going over to the PlayStation and the Xbox. You've been losing fans ever since then. Your previous console was a joke.
Yeah.
And
you're going to treat your fans like this after everything that we've stuck by you for over the past 15 years, those of us that have stayed? Yeah, I'm sorry I didn't give you my money for a Wii U. I didn't want one. You know?
Well, you were one of many, many people that did not.
It was not a console I wanted. I'm sorry. But the Switch, that is right up my alley. I mean, that trailer spoke to me in a way that Nintendo hasn't spoken to me in 20-something years. Like, this is a console meant for me, the longtime Nintendo fan. And then before that, they release the mini NES, which is like, here's some nostalgia for you before we give you our new brand new, you know, powerful console that you're going to play all kind of new stuff on that we've got third party support for. Here you go. And then we get all excited. And then they're like, oh, sorry, we fucked it up. You're not getting one. But you can buy one from some asshole on Facebook for $1,000 if you really want one. Fuck you, Nintendo.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I just don't get it.
This is the angry episode, really, man.
No, I like it. That's good stuff.
I hope my mom doesn't listen to this episode.
Say again?
I said, I hope my mom doesn't listen to this episode.
Oh, same here. No, it's really, when it boils down to it, I just don't understand it. Like, I'm trying to comprehend how it makes sense, because much like Spock, logic's a big thing to me, and this makes zero sense either way.
But
it just doesn't.
Let's move on to a little bit of happier stuff. So let's go ahead and, if that's all you have to say, let's go ahead and move on to this month in video game history. What do you say?
Yeah, let's do it. In 1992, on November 21st, Sega publishes Sonic the Hedgehog 2 for the Mega Drive / Genesis, Master System, and Game Gear. The game introduces Sonic's signature ability, the Spin Dash, and Sonic's sidekick, Miles Tails Prower. A seventh Chaos Emerald is introduced, and with it, the ability to turn into Super Sonic. I loved Sonic the Hedgehog games. You know, we've talked about that numerous times. Sonic the Hedgehog 2 is probably my all-time favorite, just because it introduces Tails, introduces a lot of new dynamics. It took the foundation that Sonic 1 built and made it even better. The colors were brighter. The music was better. You had the Spin Dash, so you had the ability to, you know, do cooler things. The special stage was really cool. You run through like a half pipe tunnel trying to collect rings and avoid bombs. And if you get a certain amount, then you progress to part two of it, and then part three. And then if you get enough rings, you get the Chaos Emerald. I miss Sonic games like this. And I can't remember if we've talked about this on this podcast, but sometime early next year, Sega is releasing a new Sonic game called Sonic Mania.
Yeah, we did talk about that.
Okay, we did. Yeah, it's a traditional 2D side scroller like the old Sonic games, and that game I'm absolutely stoked for. I'm going to be getting that the day it comes out. I love this game. I'm glad you put this on this month in video game history.
Yeah, I figured you would love that. I know you're the Sonic the Hedgehog fan of the group here. I was never a big Sega fan, but you know what? If Sega really wants to stick a finger in Nintendo's eye, they should release a mini Sega Genesis and actually put out enough for people to be able to buy.
Oh man, this cut's gonna run deep for a long time.
Yeah, it is. In 1993, in November, LucasArts releases Sam and Max Hit the Road. I remember the Sam and Max games, but I never played them. Did you play them?
I've actually never heard of them. I'm looking it up right now. Sam and Max Hit the Road. That's interesting cover art.
Yeah,
it reminds me of like an 80s comic book in a way, or maybe like a 70s comic book.
Yeah, it kind of has interesting, kind of a weird art style to it. I would love to go back and play it one of these days if I ever get around to it. On November 5th, 1993, Mega Man 6 was released in Japan for NES. And on November 11th, Virgin Games releases Disney's Aladdin for the Genesis, voted Genesis Game of 1993 by Electronic Gaming Monthly. I've never got to play Disney's Aladdin, but I've seen a lot of gameplay of it, and that was a beautiful game for the time.
It was. I never got too much into like the Disney, you know, show or movie based games, but I did play Aladdin just because it's my all time favorite Disney movie.
Yeah.
It was fun. Yeah, I never beat it, but what little I did play of it, I really liked it. And it's funny you mentioned a name that, you know, that resonates with me, Electronic Gaming Monthly, because that was one of the two video game magazines that I subscribed to every month. It was that and Nintendo Power.
Same here. I had a subscription to both.
loved Electronic Gaming Monthly.
Yeah, that was a really good magazine. And it was thick, too.
It was
three times as thick as Nintendo Power.
Could beat somebody over the head with it.
Yeah, you could. It was like holding a brick. It was like a phone
book. Yeah, it was. No. Aladdin was great. I would love to. I'd love to go back and play that game again sometime.
Yeah. But well, let's go ahead and go into our review for this week. I'm going to be reviewing a game called Air Fortress. This was a game that was given to me by a listener, Tyler Watson. I had never heard of this game until he gave me a copy of it. And there was a time, I've spoken to this many times, he gave me a copy of this and Dr. Mario. And we all know the story. I got addicted to Dr. Mario for about a month and a half and never really got around to playing Air Fortress. I did pop it in when I first got it and played some of the first level. And this game really is a hidden gem for the Nintendo. And let me read a little bit about it here. Air Fortress is a video game published in Japan for the Famicom in 1987, in North America for the NES in September 1989, after an initial test release of 385 copies in 1987. The story is, the people of the planet Farmel, having recently gained the technology for space travel, eagerly explored the galaxy only to find a herd of monstrous air fortresses moving in their direction. They quickly discovered that the fortresses behaved like interstellar locusts, consuming all of the resources and living things in their path. The Space Federation sent their mightiest fleet, which was quickly eliminated by the powerful fortresses. In the final gambit, they send a single warrior named Hal Bailman, outfitted with a shielded spacesuit, powerful weapons, and a small light ship to infiltrate the fortresses and destroy them from the inside out. I did not know what to expect from this game because the cover art doesn't really give you any really doesn't give you an idea of what the game's going to be about because it's not like, I don't know. It's kind of hard to explain. You can go to the wiki page and look at the actual artwork for the game. But it's one of those games. It reminds me a lot of Blaster Master. Did you ever play that game for the NES?
I did not.
It was a blend of two different genres. It was kind of a 2D side scroller, platformer, but you had a vehicle that you could actually exit the vehicle and go into different levels in the game where you actually did. It was more platforming as the little character with a gun, but you could also do platforming in the vehicle. But with this game, it's a little bit different. This game reminded me a lot of a mashup between Metroid and Mega Man, if that makes any sense. But when the game first starts, you are on this little ship and you're going through kind of a 2D side-scrolling shooter like R-Type or Silver Surfer, that type of game. And I thought that's what the entire game was going to be. And when I first played it, I was like, I'm not a real big fan of these kind of side-scrolling shooters, so I put it to the side and didn't play it. I played Dr. Mario for a while, but I popped this game in about 2 weeks ago, and I decided to use my NES Advantage with it so I could have Turbo, and I wouldn't have to sit there and press the button a million times. But I got through that first level, and then the game changes. You actually get out of the vehicle, go inside the air fortress, and that's when it becomes a side-scrolling platformer in the line of Mega Man. But it has a feel of Metroid. You have to go through the air fortress, and you have like a jetpack, and you have a limited amount of energy, which you can replenish your energy as you go through the level. You have different enemies that you can shoot, and you don't really walk as much as you kind of fly everywhere. And there are different obstacles in your way, things that drain your energy, things that, you know, you have to dodge and shoot and go around obstacles and things like that. But you get to a point in the air fortress, excuse me. Sorry, I had to hit the cough button there for a second, having a little cold this week. But you get to a point where you have to actually destroy, kind of the heart of the air fortress. And it's almost like, when you're fighting Mother Brain and, Metroid. And once you destroy that brain of the air fortress, then you have to escape the air fortress before it explodes. So you got to either go like back the way you came or go a different way. There's like different ways to get in and out. So it's a really interesting, fun game to play because it is a mashup of different genres of gameplay. And I think the only thing that really held this game back from being in the public consciousness and being an actual like classic, because I really do think that this game is a hidden gem of the Nintendo and people should play this game. I think the only thing holding this game back were the graphics weren't that great. If you could find some screenshots of the game, it's really not that pretty of a game to look at. It's kind of basic, but the gameplay actually, the gameplay is what really sets this game apart because it's so fun. Like the gameplay makes up for the fact that the graphics aren't that great for the game. So I think if they would have taken a little more time with the graphics, I think this game would have been up there with Blaster Master, Mega Man, Metroid. It would have been a Nintendo classic.
Yeah, I'm looking at some screenshots now. Yeah, the graphics you can tell weren't the greatest. Yeah, I do like you explaining that it's kind of a combination of different types of gameplay. You know, like you're partially in your ship and then you can get out of it. That's something that, you know, you don't really think of when you think of an NES game. You think it's either one or the other. So the fact that you can do both, I think, is really cool.
And it was really surprising when that happened because I was expecting it to be one thing, but then you get something else and then you know, it becomes this whole other thing. And, you know, I don't want to harp on a game for not having great graphics because, you know, I'm not a graphics whore or anything, but it just wasn't that pleasant to look at. You know, if it would have had brighter graphics like Mega Man, it would have made the experience so much better. But you can definitely tell that it's a game that was built in the early days of the Famicom and the NES. Like, even though it wasn't released until 1989, in North America, it was a game that was developed in 1986 in Japan. So it was very early Famicom Nintendo graphics, because if you look, you know, by the time this game was released, you know, like Mega Man 2 was out at this time. And you look at different, you compare screenshots of Mega Man to this game, and it's like night and day.
Oh, yeah. Looking at the kind of going back to the cover art, when you were trying to describe, you know, like what it kind of reminded you of, what it makes me think of, did you ever see the movie Heavy Metal?
Yeah, yeah.
It looks like one of the segments from Heavy Metal.
Yeah.
Like it looks like it's ripped straight from one of them.
Well, it has a look to it. The cover art looks a lot like the old cover art from The old Atari cartridges.
Yeah.
Like the whole cover tells a story, but you know, it's like it's airbrushed and it's like it's really cool, like sci-fi artwork. Like it looks like when you look at it, it doesn't look like a game. It looks like it would be kind of one of those like science fiction books you would get from like Scholastic or something.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. This does sound pretty interesting. You know, I remember you mentioning it a few weeks back when Tyler gave it to you. And I was curious to hear what you thought of it. It's another game I'll need to look up some gameplay for. Definitely yeah, sounds interesting.
Yeah, and I would recommend this game to anybody out there that has a Nintendo and is looking for, you know, any type of really good game to play on the Nintendo. This is definitely one of those games you should pick up if you come across it. Even if you can find a copy on like eBay or something, it shouldn't be that expensive to pick up a copy of this game, because like I said, it's not considered like a classic or anything. I didn't even know this game existed until he gave it to me. But
one thing I did want to say, the main character's name, Hal Bailman.
Yeah.
Perfect sci-fi name.
Yeah, exactly. But
sounds like he'd fit in with Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh yeah. But I'm going to up my scale. I used to do a scale of 5, but I think I'm going to take a cue from you and start doing on a scale of 10. So out of 10, I would give this game a solid 7. If the graphics would have been a little bit more on par with Mega Man or something like that, I would have given it probably a 9. But, the gameplay is
still pretty
good,
though.
Yeah, the gameplay is great. It's a fun game to play, but it's just not that interesting to look at. I mean, the graphics are like very early Nintendo graphics.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, if you find this game out there, anybody that's looking to pad out their collection, it's definitely a cool game to pick up. And thank you, Tyler. I know you're listening. I hope you made it this far and we didn't make you want to turn it off for all the bitching we did about Nintendo earlier. We apologize for that. But, you know, come on, Nintendo. Get your act together, man. We love you. We've been in your pocket for 30 years, man. Give us some respect.
I'll say this in closing about the Nintendo thing. I still want the Switch, but Nintendo has got to rethink how they release things. Like they've got to look at what Sony and Microsoft have done and realize that this is how the video game industry is now. Yeah, we love Nintendo for its nostalgia, but it's also 2016.
Yeah, you can't have that artificial scarcity model anymore. It doesn't work like that anymore. We don't live in a world where people are patient and are gonna wait until, you know, you get off your ass to produce, you know, 50,000 more that are gonna come out in 3 weeks. Like, no, when somebody wants something, they want it when they want it. And there's no telling probably how many people they've angered and people are not gonna pick it up now that would have picked it up if it would have just been available.
If you want to see a good example of how people feel about this whole situation, go to Amazon, find the link for the NES Mini, and look at the reviews. Last I checked, and this was probably the day after the system came out, it was at over 2,000 reviews and an average of 1.5 stars.
Wow.
That alone should tell you how people feel about this whole thing.
So come on, Nintendo, get it together, man. You've been a company for over 120 years. I mean, you know, you've been around this long for a reason. Start listening to people. Hire some people. If you don't understand social media, hire someone that does. And
yes.
Get your act together. Because come on, man. It's 2016. Let's do this.
No, exactly. I did want to say one last thing. Next week will be my review. I was looking at the different games that I have listed here, and I was thinking, what could I do? I'm actually going to make a challenge to myself. Have you ever heard of the game Harvest Moon?
Hmm. I've heard of it. I don't, it's not immediately coming to mind what it is.
It's a game about farming. All you do is farm. You grow crops, you raise livestock, and I'm going to explain, and hopefully I can convince everyone, why it's one of my favorite SNES games.
Okay. We have a game about farming. Oh, I forgot to bring up, too, I added another game to the list that I picked up this last week. I got a copy of Double Dragon off of eBay for $11 free shipping.
Nice. I actually played Double Dragon. I was, to give kind of a brief, I guess, explanation, I was in Houston, Texas for a video board conference for my work. And Monday night, we went out to a bar called Kung Fu Saloon. It was also a retro arcade. It had the old Ninja Turtles arcade game. It had Galaga, The Simpsons, Mario Kart, Double Dragon, Mortal Kombat, Skee-Ball, NFL Blitz, and all the games were free.
That's fantastic.
And Double Dragon was one of them, and I had never really played it. And sure enough, and I mean, this has kind of become a running gag on the show, but as soon as I saw it, I pictured Fred Savage in my head saying, yeah, he kicks ass on Double Dragon.
Yeah, I popped it in. Double Dragon was always one of my favorite games when I was a kid. You know, I might actually review this in 2 weeks. It's either going to be this or Crystalis, but I can go ahead and tell you this now. Double Dragon doesn't hold up.
Yeah, I tried playing it and I was like, this is a little rough.
Yeah, it's not quite as good as I remember it to be.
Yeah, it's a classic, but yeah, it is unfortunate that it doesn't hold up.
I mean, I'm glad I have a copy of it. It's one of the games that I have on my must-have list of games that, you know, I did own or never owned and always rented and always wanted to own it. This game was on that list, and I'm glad I got it, but I played it for about 2 hours the other day, and I took it out, and I was like, yeah, I'll probably never play this again. It's kind of sad.
It's a good thing to have, though.
Yeah. But I will say, I don't care how pissed off I get at it, Ninja Gaiden still holds up, man. That is still one of the best games ever made for the Nintendo Entertainment System. And if you don't have a copy of Ninja Gaiden, what are you doing?
Yeah, as soon as I get an NES, that'll be one of the first games I get for it.
You have to.
But absolutely. Well, hopefully next week's show will be much more positive.
Yes.
we've kind of decompressed. I feel better now that we've, you know, because I've been sitting on this subject for a week now.
Yeah. And I've been thinking in, you know, the past couple of days, we knew what we were going to be talking about in this week's episode.
Yeah.
And I just needed to get all this off my chest. So everybody out there listening, if you're still with us, I thank you for sticking through that little rant. I needed to get that off my chest. So you go back and you listen to our other episodes and you've been with us from the beginning, you know, where we're pretty happy guys. And, you know, we always like to talk about positive things, but sometimes something comes along that just slaps you in the face and you just really need to get it off your chest. And I needed to get that off my chest. So thank you for sticking with us through that.
Well, I mean, it's the good thing about doing a podcast like this is it really gives you an outlet to vent your frustrations when it comes to stuff like this. So
yeah,
no, it's all good. I mean, I wanted to talk about it too. So
it was just a crappy end to a horrible week, if you know what I mean.
Oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, and, since people will be, it'll be the week before Thanksgiving or week of Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
Yes. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Eat lots of turkey and stuffing and, you know, whatever you want to do on Thanksgiving. Don't get in a fight with your drunk uncle or anything like that. Just everybody have a good time.
Just eat yourself into a food coma.
Yeah.
And all will be right with the world.
Oh, yeah. And usually don't they play a Christmas Story on Thanksgiving Day? That's like when they start playing it for like 24-hour marathons, isn't it?
I think so.
I might have to eat some turkey and sit back and watch A Christmas Story.
Now, real quick, because this has been a subject with multiple people. What is your stance on Christmas stuff, like Christmas music? Do you wait till after Thanksgiving to break out the Christmas stuff?
Oh, yeah. We don't even touch the Christmas decorations until well after Thanksgiving.
Good.
Yeah, I'm not one of those crazy people.
There was a funny work story. Our media relations manager, she's a huge Christmas fan, and she was like, "Hey, I'm gonna play some Christmas music," and her office is like two down from ours, and we're like, "No, it's not after Thanksgiving. You can't do it. We're not gonna allow it." So, this is what she claims. Is that she accidentally played a commercial that had Christmas music in it. So as soon as this happens, and thank God that our offices are up in the press box away from everybody else, because I probably would have gotten sent home from this, I picked up my chair, threw it across the room, and then slammed the door shut and just yelled, "Fuck," really loudly. And my boss just died laughing. He's like, "That is the greatest thing I've ever seen."
It's too early for Christmas music, man.
Yeah. And this was a couple of months ago.
You know what makes me angry? When at the beginning of October, like literally like the first week of October, they're pulling all the Halloween decorations down so they can put all the Christmas crap up in all the stores.
I mean, it makes no sense that Halloween hasn't even arrived yet.
Yeah. Like, I went to the store, a couple of stores around here. You know, like, we've got Target and Walmart and a couple, like, little local places around here. And you go in there, and, like, all the Halloween stuff is already being, like, taken down and discounted and, like, shoved over in the corner so that, like, Christmas can just vomit everywhere.
This is what stores should do. This is the model that I've set up. Okay, so you set up your Halloween stuff in October. Then after Halloween is over, we're into November.
Mm-hmm.
You can leave pumpkins up, not the jack-o'-lantern ones, but just, you know, your plain pumpkins, yeah. And you can set up maybe some leaves, you know, have a nice fall-looking atmosphere, usually, you know, like your browns, your oranges, and then the day after Christmas is when you unveil all the Christmas stuff.
Mm-hmm.
See, you have Halloween for 1 month, and then you basically have all of November for, you don't even have to say it's Thanksgiving. Just call it, you know, fall decorations.
Yeah. Well, until we as a people rise up and demand that Christmas go back to its own damn month, it's never going to get any better. We rise up, people. Rise up with me. Go down to your local Walmart or Big Lots or whatever you have, Target, and demand that they not put out any Christmas decorations until the day after Thanksgiving. Should be a law.
I want to recreate the scene from The Dark Knight Rises where Bane is in the football stadium.
Yeah.
And he's giving that speech, but I want to replace it with, you know, Christmas after Thanksgiving.
Yes.
That would be amazing.
Maybe we can do that and just redub in the the audio.
I'll work on my Bane impression.
Okay.
Oh, good stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Well, I think that's just going to just about do it for this week. Is there anything else you want to talk about before we get out of here?
No, I don't believe so. I'm good.
Well, I guess that's just gonna do it. And now I'm gonna press the button to do the music. There it is. And yeah, so let me go ahead and get. I got two screens pulled up right now because I can't get my damn internet browser up on the main computer. So I'm trying to do like five things at once. So yeah, if you want to email us, you can email us at nerdcaveretro@gmail.com. We're on Twitter at nerdcaveretro, at jfunktastic, at Derek_diamond. And we're on Facebook at facebook.com/nerdcaveretro. So tell them what to do, Derek.
May the way of the hero lead to the Triforce.
You've been listening to a Nerd Cave Network production.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.